Jovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, coming to you loud and clear from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the Orange Curtain. 1-800-222-5222 is the direct line, the red line phone that rings straight to the Sweet James Studios. Sam at samnation.com is the email. If you'd like to reach me during the course of the program or even afterwards, I take after-hours emails, so send them my way. Well, Hillary, did you hear about this? Hurricane Hillary, right? This is Hillary Clinton's book signing tour. Has made a landfall at 11 a.m. Well, no, it was scheduled at 11 a.m. You know, they had that Doppler radar out there that we've been looking at for the past, it seems, 3 weeks. And it was, she was scheduled to show up at the Barnes & Noble in Union Square in New York City at 11. And there were crowds. This is the part that just blows my mind. There were a ton of people outside. There was one woman that the New York Post quoted as having, she lives a little ways away. By this, I mean just across town. So she's a New York City resident. She ends up staying in a motel that is close to Union Square so that she may be in better proximity to the line when people begin to, I guess, line up to meet her. They had a limited number of wristbands. That's how they, you know, if you were lucky enough, you know, to wait in the line and to see Hillary, wristbands. And I think the best part about this is, so she comes an hour late. These people are waiting. There's old people. There's people in wheelchairs. They're all waiting for her. She's an hour late. Saunters in, you know, gives her royal regal wave. And then sits down, doesn't say anything, right? That's the crazy part. She doesn't say anything. She doesn't, nothing. Just sits down and just starts opening books and says, thank you, here, you know, signs the book and moves on. There's a great, so the New York Post sent a reporter. And she writes that Hillary Clinton's book signing was as insufferable as you'd expect. The best part about it was that Hillary walks in and the crowd goes nuts. They start chanting Hillary, Hillary, as if this lady was like, who did she connect with exactly? She gets there, right? She stands up on this raised platform. No crowd hello, nothing like that. And then this part, let me read this. This is great. Waiting patiently to Hillary's right, mere feet from her stage, was a line of wheelchair-bound seniors. Hey, guys, I need everybody to move over this way, one staffer directed as if it were so easy. Another staffer hijacked a fan's wheelchair, saying, we're going for a ride, while moving the fan aside. So Hillary's staff is like manhandling people in wheelchairs. And meanwhile, I mean, can you imagine if Steve Bannon were doing a book signing somewhere, a meet and greet, and one of his people took a guy in a wheelchair and started moving around. So, hey, we're going for a ride. I mean, this would be front page news. Satan himself messing with the handicap. So the event goes for just a short while. She signs all the books and leaves. And this is very classic Hillary Clinton. You got to understand, it's part of the reason. This answers the question, what happened? One of the reasons she lost the election is because there's no spontaneity. There certainly was no connection, no emotional, visceral, any type of human relation. She walks in, she's very, very rehearsed. She's very polished, right? But she's not human. You get a guy like Trump in there. You saw pictures of him, by the way, Hurricane Harvey, the second visit that he did up, I think it was the Corpus Christi area. Anyway, he's hugging babies. He's a guy. That's the craziest thing about it, right? Painted as this aloof, multi-billionaire, horrible person. But again, he gets up there and he speaks to people and they connect with him. both when he's up on stage, on TV, and also in person. So this, we will follow this closely. I guess in the signings that are coming up shortly, she's going to be giving some people a greater paid access. And that's part of the reason, make no mistake about it, that's part of the reason why she's not giving it out for free at this Barnes & Noble book signing today. She's not saying anything. She's not giving anybody any extra handshakes or photos, but strictly forbidden, because she's selling all of that. She's making people pay. What is it here? I have it. Hold on. From $89 to $3,000 per head is what she is charging at certain stops along the way of her book tour. She has to monetize whatever she has. You know, if Trump had lost the election, he would have just gone right back to being Trump and living in Trump Tower. But Hillary lost the election, and with that, her entire livelihood, which was built upon the greatest racket, namely selling influence and selling access to a future president of the United States. So, what happened? Stop one of Hillary's book tour. Oh, she also went on with CBS's Jane Pauley Wants a Cracker. I say that only because this is the amount of, oh, listen to, this is how the interview opened. If you think I'm being rude to Jane Pauley, listen to how sycophantic she is. You're just kissing Hillary's you-know-whatsy. Listen to this. This is how she opens up the interview.
So I'm wondering, how are you?
I think I am good, but that doesn't mean that I am complacent or resolved about what happened. It still is very painful. It hurts a lot.
Hillary Rodham Clinton has spent the last 10 months trying to figure out why she isn't president of the United States.
Huh. Can we talk about Election Day?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any clue what the outcome of that day would be?
But Paul, is Jane Pauley serious? Do you see how softball this is? You remember yesterday when CBS 60 Minutes, Charlie Rose, is grilling Steve Bannon? This is contentious, you know, hand-to-hand combat. Can we talk about Election Day? Did you have any clue what the outcome of that day would be? Here's an idea, Jane Pauley. No, she didn't have any clue because her head is so far up her rear end. She has no clue, zero. And for what's more, neither did Jane Pauley or anyone else at CBS or anyone else in the mainstream media. They had no clue. Nobody had a clue. Because they're listening inside of their own echo chamber to their own nonsense. So here in this interview, she keeps coming back to one thing, and it's so tired, it's so wasted. You know, I want to spare you the cost of buying this ridiculous book. And by the way, do me a favor, if you're at the Barnes & Noble and or wherever. I won't name out particular booksellers. Wherever you are, and you see that book selling, I'm just saying, you know, if it happens to relocate over to the fiction aisle, I won't say anything. It'll be just between us, okay? But anyway, so I don't need you to buy the book. I want to take some time and just this is all you need to know. The big thing is, she lost because she's a woman. Here is a little montage in one single interview. These are all different clips. We're not playing any tricks here. This is one interview sitting with Jane Pauley, Hillary explaining why she lost.
We really don't want a woman commander in chief. I didn't get the same respect from my primary opponent. A lot of his supporters continue to harass, well, you're supporting a woman because you're a woman. The idea of a woman president. And the attacks were so sexist. Feeds in, I think, to the whole sexism and misogyny. A lot of the sexism and the misogyny, and then let's not forget sexism and misogyny.
Every woman, every man, every human being ought to be so repulsed by this. This is just nonsense. She didn't lose because she's a woman. It's baloney. She lost because she's an unlikable human being with no new ideas who was tainted by scandal from top to bottom. There's really nothing else to say here. And it actually, you know, this does a tremendous disservice to real acts of sexism wherever they exist. You know, I bet if you're a woman and you're listening to this and you've actually seen real sexism and you are able, I mean, you follow the campaign, right? You've seen what happened here. Is it really the same thing as what you experienced? I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, and it actually, truly, this offends real women. This offends normal, conscious, thinking adults. And frankly, even some children. There was a guy at the book signing, by the way, speaking of kids. This guy's 25. You want to hear his quote? This is a quote that he gave the New York Post. "I'm excited for her book release because it's something I've never seen from a candidate dealing with defeat," 24-year-old Brandon Echeverria told me. The book and the launch, he said, has a lot to do with, quote, experience and self-help. Yeah, I don't. Experience and self-help. You know, so she talks, Hillary talks about this, about the feelings that she had after she lost. Here's one where she just talks about the morning of the letdown. And here's what she says.
"I just felt this enormous letdown, this kind of loss of feeling and direction and sadness. And, you know, Bill just kept saying, oh, you know, that was a terrific speech, trying to just kind of bolster me a little bit. Off I went into a frenzy of closet cleaning and long walks in the woods and playing with my dogs and yoga, alternate nostril breathing, which I highly recommend, trying to calm myself down and, my share of Chardonnay."
By Chardonnay, she means a wine. It's not a person. I just want to clarify that one bit of detail. Also, did Bill, what did he say? Bill said, oh, you know, that was a terrific speech. Maybe you should have told her to put some ice on it. I'm telling you, look, do you know I remember losing an election in high school? I remember I ran for class, was it class president? And I got rejected by the entire school. If you run for student office or anything like that, or I mean, of course, now as you're looking back, it's a trivial deal, right? I mean, I went on and actually have become a functioning adult. But at the time, I mean, it was really crushing. This isn't unique to her. Feeling this type of rejection and pain and shock and surprise, in all seriousness, is not a unique experience to Hillary Clinton. She's written a whole book about it. She's going on a book tour to talk about it. She's in these insufferable interviews, blabbing about it. I remember losing a stupid ASB election, and it hurt, like hell. Failure. Now, listen up, kids. Failure on any level can be terrible. And this kid is about self-help. It doesn't self-help anybody. This book is terrible self-help because it teaches you to rationalize, teaches you to make excuses. It teaches you that you and only you are the center of some weird, strange, narcissistic universe. That's not what it is. When you fail, and it does happen in life, it happens to everybody. When you fail at something, even if it's as big as losing the presidency of the United States, a real man and a real woman and a real solid human being does what? They lick their wounds. They get their stuff together. And you know, it is painful. And they probably, many of us, I don't know. I don't drink Chardonnay. But whiskey, yeah, not in high school. No, I didn't medicate it with it. But you know, you have a drink or two, and you cry, or you punch a wall, or you go and you start to take a black belt class. But you just can't justify it away. You just can't blame other people, or blame some fictitious prejudice, you know, headwind that is against you. Because even if it's true, here's the takeaway. Even if it's true, it makes you look so fantastically weak. And I don't think that's something Hillary wants here. I don't mind, but I don't think it's something she wants. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I don't know if you saw the announcement from Apple. There is a new iPhone, among other gadgets, coming down the pipe. I think we have to wait till the end of October, though, to pre-order. The iPhone X looks pretty dang slick. I'm not going to lie. I love tech. And I love Apple. I'm just going to say that right now. I know they're all libs. I don't think they're big Sam Nation fans, but I love their products. So it's an unrequited love. This new phone has an interesting feature. It has, you know, the current phone, the most recent version of it has the thumbprint. You know, you can unlock it using your thumbprint. So pretty nifty if you steal somebody's phone, you know, in a third world country, you got to steal their thumb too. So bring a sharp knife. But here now, we got a bigger problem. Now it's going to use your face, your facial recognition through the front facing camera on the phone to unlock the phone. And you have to train it the same way that you program the thumbprint. You've got to figure the phone around different ways and, you know, to get it to unlock. So it's going to be a problem in the Middle East. I'm just throwing this out there because you get the ladies in the burqas and they all look the same. So they all be able to unlock each other's phone. I'm not. I'm being dead serious. What do they do? They're going to figure out a way. This technology, they're going to figure out a way. But it's interesting. This is groundbreaking tech. I mean, it's all tech. This is what Apple does. Nothing that is in this phone is in and of itself groundbreaking. It's not. It's all been around. But what Apple does is it takes all these existing technologies and manages to put it together in a really great, sexy package. And the key thing to Apple's success is they make it work for idiots like me. I'm not a tech guy. I don't want to sit around. I like technology. It's different. I like technology. I like the slick stuff that technology does. But I want it to look pretty, you know? I want it to work. When I power it on, it's just got to do what it's going to do. I don't want to fuss with it. So Apple gets all of these different technologies to work well together in concert in a good way. And that's it. That's their secret sauce, if you really must know. So will I get this phone? Yes, I will. And I don't need any of you Android people to tell me how this technology's been out there forever and it's just a marketing gimmick and whatever. I get on an Android phone and I'm lost. It's like waking up suddenly in a dream where everything is Game of Thrones. I mean, I'm just lost. It's just a totally different universe. It doesn't work. I don't get it. Now, I know I'll get some hate mail here. I know of that for sure. So, speaking of hate and throwing shade, Sarah Huckabee Sanders today in the press conference, daily press briefing, in the White House briefing room, she's there, you know, it's like being in the Coliseum, being a matador, only only, I don't know, I'm mixing my geographic region, but whatever it is, you know, it's like you're a gladiator and you're surrounded by hostiles. So imagine a matador somewhere and there's like 30 bulls all charging at you. That is Sarah Huckabee Sanders' job working for the president. So a reporter starts asking her about the book. Listen to this exchange, because boy, does she just get them back. Listen to this.
Will the president be reading Hillary Clinton's book? And what does he think about the excerpts that have gotten out so far?
Whether or not he's going to read Hillary Clinton's book, I am not sure, but I would think that he's pretty well versed on what happened, and I think it's pretty clear to all of America. I think it's sad that after Hillary Clinton ran one of the most negative campaigns in history and lost, and the last chapter of her public life is going to be now defined by propping up book sales with false and reckless attacks, and I think that that's a sad way for her to continue this war.
Mic drop. There's nothing left to say. She's so good. She's so good. But nobody's calling the attacks on her sexism, are they? All right, we got the news up next with John Wolfe, and then the Catholic Church, Bannon, and Pope Francis and climate change. What do they all have in common? You don't want to miss this. Back right after this.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, bottom of the hour, Tuesday night, plowing ahead, and live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. Phone number, if you'd like to be with us on the program, 1-800-222-5222, and my email, as always, sam@samnation.com. Do email me if you've got a pithy thought or want to tell me how awful of a human I am. I love those emails. Those are actually my favorites, so send them my way. A very interesting thing is happening that has caught my eye, and no one's poking at this. No one's picking at it. Nobody's explaining or talking about it in any way, because I think we've just taken a few things now for granted, or we're just glossing over them because it's not important with everything else going on, but I think it's fascinating. And it has to do, the conversation starts with the Bannon interview on Sunday night, the 60 Minutes interview. Now, we went into great depth last night about it. And I'm not going to go back to it necessarily, but except for one little section, if you'll allow me. And it had to do with the Catholic Church and Cardinal Dolan. And the idea was, well, Charlie Rose, the interviewer, asked Bannon this question. Can I remind you, a good Catholic, that Cardinal Dolan is opposed to what's happened with DACA? Cardinal Dolan. Now, let's take the substance of what is being said first and handle it. What this is about is DACA, right? Deferred action for the children of illegal immigrants. And the Catholic Church is up in arms. So is the Mormon Church. So are other churches. Why? Well, it's been the... Well, Bannon answers it. But I'll just tell you, his answer is the same as mine. And I'll give you my answer that I've been saying for years. It's a tremendous hypocrisy. Churches right now are losing young professionals. They're losing a lot of people, okay? I mean, the world is changing. And I can't necessarily speak for Catholics, but I have some experience with the Mormon Church, and I know that a lot of young people are leaving. There is a crisis of faith, and churches are like any other businesses. They got to fill the pews. And it is not... I am not saying anything earth-breaking or earth-shattering here when I say that mass illegal immigration benefits churches because it fills the pews. I mean, you've got people who are very religious, who are very Catholic, but oftentimes open to other Christian religions, come here and they fill the pews. I remember this. I remember from when I was an active practicing Mormon, this was normal. I can vouch for it. So, with that little hypocrisy in mind, and it is hypocrisy because by the same token, we're taught, you know, religion teaches you to follow the rules and obey the law and be a good citizen. And oh, but hold on. We're going to make some exceptions over here because it's the good Christian thing to do. Very confusing. It's not really what I wanted to get into. That's just the substance. What's so interesting to me here is that Charlie Rose, a liberal extraordinaire, a leftist pontificator, is arguing with a conservative on television using arguments put out there by a Catholic church. I mean, if you're not tracking what I'm saying, let me put it to you this way. If the argument were about just about anything else, the Catholic Church is the bad guy. I mean, what do you mean? What do you mean a man and a woman? What's that? What do you mean gender and fluidity? What, you mean gender's not fluid? What are you talking about? Abortion? Well, everybody should have an abortion. Of course. So in every respect, the Catholic Church is the bad guy, but he's bringing it up here as a counterpunch, as you know, to get Bannon, because Bannon, of course, is Catholic himself. So now I have something else to tell you, and I'll get to it when we come back because I'm up against the clock. But Pope Francis and climate change. This one is another shocker. What's up is down, and what's down is up. Don't miss us. Sam Rachofsky, Sam Nation Live, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Before we get to Bannon and the Catholics and Pope Francis, let me take a quick detour here about driverless car rules are changing. The Trump administration regulates and heads up the DOT, right? The Department of Transportation. They set all the rules for all cars that are on the road. And the DOT is loosening the rules about driverless car testing. Because now they're changing the rules to allow for automakers and tech companies to voluntarily submit safety assessments. Now, we'll probably bring Sweet James in here to talk about that later in the week, because this is fascinating in and of itself. But I thought one very interesting thing is when Elaine Chao, Transportation Secretary, unveiled her report, she was joined on stage by a Mark Riccobono. Do you know who Mark Riccobono is? No? He's an important stakeholder in the whole driverless car movement. It should alarm you, though. Mark Riccobono is the president of the National Association of the Blind. So, yes, this is where we're headed. We are lowering the standards for these cars being tested, and we're hopefully getting them to a place where the blind people are going to drive them. So I get it. Of course, pie in the sky, it's a great thing. But you know what? This technology is going to fail before it succeeds. There's going to be some great, spectacular driving out there, blind people in cars that don't work. So, what do you do? And by the way, what do you do if you get hit by a driverless car that's being tested? You know what? Actually, you got a very complicated case. That's the real answer. I mean, every case actually is complicated on some level, and that's why you need the right lawyer. Don't try to do it alone. Are you going to call Google? Say, hey, one of your bots just hit me. Pay up. Well, whatever you do, yeah, you wouldn't want to try to Google the answer to that. So you want to call Sweet James Bergner, the attorney we trust here on the program, to handle your personal injury needs. You don't want to go at it alone. Put him in your corner, give him a call, and get him on your team. And he's easy to talk to. That's the best part about it. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. That's his website. Check it out. All right, Sam Nation, we're back. And we are, I'm loving this. So I mentioned the little tiff that is growing between Cardinal Dolan and Steve Bannon. This was all ignited by Charlie Rose, because here's what Bannon responded to Charlie Rose. Let me see. I've got to make sure I've got this. Oh, yeah. Charlie Rose says, Cardinal Dolan is a good Catholic and he's opposed to what's happening with DACA. And here's what Bannon says. The bishops have been terrible about this. By the way, you know why? You know why? Because unable to really come to grips with the problems in the church, they need illegal aliens. They need illegal aliens to fill the churches. It's obvious on the face of it. And that's what the entire Catholic bishops condemning means. They've got an economic interest. They have an economic interest in unlimited immigration, unlimited illegal immigration. And you find this crazy situation where a liberal commentator like Charlie Rose is using the Catholic Church, which in general, outside of this issue, is a arch conservative institution that liberals, by the way, love to hate on, correct? And now they're using it as an offensive weapon against Bannon. Well, you think the world is completely upside down, because this little doozy came up. Pope Francis said the other day, and it's all connected, people have a moral responsibility to combat climate change. And here's his quote. This is the Pope. This is the head of the Catholic Church. Whoever denies climate change should ask the scientists who speak with great clarity and precision on this topic. Are you kidding me? Maybe we should talk to a scientist about heaven. Should we do that? And about the existence of a God Almighty. I mean, here you have God's representative on the earth. I mean, I think that's what you believe if you're Catholic. The Pope himself. And they say, well, let's talk about this climate change thing. And then he goes, ask a scientist. They've got great clarity on this issue. So you literally have the Catholic Church pointing at scientists. You have leftists pointing at the Catholic Church for I mean, this is the kind of world we're in. I think it's hilarious. Anyway, got to go. Got a few more thoughts on this when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. And this is a great thing here about the little tiff between Bannon now and Cardinal Dolan, dealing with why the Catholic Church wants DACA and is fighting for DACA. Because Bannon, of course, said it's because they want to fill the pews. They want bodies and seats. But there's another part to this that I think you've always got to know the motivations of people, why they do things, why they say things. So there's a Christopher Mannion, who's a Catholic writer, a thinker. He's a Knight of Malta. Got a lot of experience. Has written a number of books. 50 years experience in Latin American issues, and he has an interesting point here. He actually says, look. The Obama administration gave hundreds of millions of dollars to the Catholic Church to care for illegal immigrants, to care for the poor, but to care specifically for illegal immigrants and for refugees. And the Catholic Church was hoping that this gravy train was going to continue with the election of Hillary Clinton. I mean, it was pretty obvious. And they're strange bedfellows, right? I mean, if you're a political observer and aware, you know that traditionally, a more conservative institution like a church is probably not all in for the Democratic Party. But it has to do with money. And you've got to follow the money. And this is why, by the way, you're seeing them now attack Trump, and you've got Cardinal Dolan attacking Trump and attacking Bannon and being used by Charlie Rose and others in the media to attack conservatives. It's a very strange place to be. But nothing more odd than hearing the Pope of the Catholic Church claiming that you really in order to get a grip, a moral grip on what your responsibilities as a good Christian are, listen to a scientist. Because that scientist is going to tell you about global warming and how serious and real it is. If you have any doubt, talk to a scientist, which is another great, I mean, and maybe actually, maybe the crisis of faith in religion comes from this type of nonsense. You have a highly political pope who's a left winger. I mean, he's a total left winger. And I, you know, we're up against the hour. If you're a Catholic, and I'd love to hear from you, send me an email. I'll have you on the program. I'm curious what you think, because this, you know, the fact is that liberalism and doctrine and true Christian doctrine, if you look at the Catholic doctrine, the Mormon doctrine, you look at things like abortion, same-sex marriage, just to name a couple. It's not congruous. It doesn't go together. It's oil and water. I don't know what else to say about it. And so it's fascinating to me. They've got a pope who doesn't science is the king. So what's the takeaway from all of this? We live in strange times, folks. And I will guide you through it. I will tackle these interesting topics one by one and make sense of them, because I want to be I want to lead you through it and get you to understand. So then when you go and talk to, you know, your friends, and you're more enlightened than they are, and you can answer all their deep questions. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you then.